Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Contact tracing to determine whether you can have religious services, as shocking as it may sound, that's in fact where this is going. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom with Holly Mead. Well, the Federal Court of Appeals, sitting in Chicago, known as the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals that governs Illinois and other surrounding states, issued an opinion in the case regarding our two Romanian churches that we recently argued before a three-judge panel. And in this particular decision that ultimately ruled the right way in part of it and the wrong way in the other, wrong way on the First Amendment, which, by the way, we'll continue to litigate this, and this case, by the way, is far from over, and it may be one that goes back to the United States Supreme Court because it conflicts with one of our other Court of Appeals decisions out of Kentucky, the Maryville Baptist Church case. But in this particular decision, the court actually mentioned contact tracing. In fact, Governor Pritzker of Illinois mentions contact tracing in his executive orders. And he actually has said that before we ultimately filed suit and he removed the restrictions, hours before he had to give an account to the Supreme Court, that churches would not ever expect to get in excess of 50 people for 12 to 18 months when there is contact tracing and testing and a vaccine. So this court now uses the word contact tracing, and this is what the court said. Perhaps with more time and more data from contact tracing, Illinois could figure out just how dangerous religious services are compared with warehouses and similar activities. Holly, that's a shocking statement.
Yeah, to me it sounds like a marketing PSA for the governor's, you know, program, his Restore Illinois program, where he, as you mentioned, he launched this huge contact tracing program. In addition, Chicago also has a $56 million two-year grant, and one of our churches is located in Chicago. So they are really promoting this, pushing this. So it seems like the court has kind of gotten on their side with this.
Yeah, Chicago alone wants to hire, train, and support 600 individuals to conduct contact tracing.
That's kind of scary, I think.
And they have their own app, by the way.
Yeah.
And
so they
Illinois
can just follow
has
you anywhere. Yeah.
And they want you to use this on your cell phone so they can track every single movement that you make. But and then the individuals would be the tracers that would follow up with you in the event that something popped up that you were in the vicinity of somebody who supposedly tested positive or was exposed to the coronavirus.
But for the court to say that religious services are dangerous compared to other activities, number one, they're not dangerous. I mean, our pastors go way above to protect their people. They love their people. It's not a dangerous situation. But yet you go to a Home Depot or something, and they're not caring for people in any regard as much as the pastors are. So
right.
For the court to say that is unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, when you just read this part of it, perhaps with more time and more data from contact tracing, Illinois could figure out just how dangerous religious services are.
Dangerous.
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 Now, the implications of that in the hands of the wrong person would be that if you had this contact tracing and you had this requirement that you have an app on your phone or some kind of electronic device, and somebody like the Chicago mayor who hates Christian churches and has done everything to literally destroy them, could just simply on her own say, your church service is, quote, dangerous, close quote, and therefore I'm going to shut you down without having to shut down all the churches. I'm going to shut this church down. This church, I don't like it because this church is based on biblical values and the pastor is speaking out and the church doesn't support my agenda, so I'm going to literally shut it down. In the hands of the wrong person, this is terrible. You know, you look at the mayor of Seattle as an example. It is shocking that the mayor of Seattle has the authority to tell the police, you need to vacate the precinct. We're going to not provide police protection and we're going to let these radicals just take over multiple blocks of downtown Seattle. And they're going to paint graffiti everywhere, and they'll break into people's businesses, and we're just going to let it happen. It's a big block party. It is a summer of love, she said. Now, put in a person's hands like that, the ability to literally check off your church from the map using the word dangerous, that in fact we look at the contact tracing and there's somebody who was in your church and they had been exposed to somebody else and they went to somebody else and now we deem your church to be dangerous.
That's, the court is using careless language, which could really cause harm.
Yeah, they really are. I've never seen anything in a court decision about attending church being dangerous, that religious services are dangerous. Now, it is the ultimate intent of these contact tracers. We have been doing a lot of messaging at lc.org and lcaction.org, and you can go there to find out information about this contact tracing. And this is not your contact tracing that has been historically happening. You know, from every communicable disease in the past decades, we've done what we now call contact tracing. And what that means is somebody comes in to a doctor, you've got a communicable disease, and then they simply ask you a question. Have you been around anybody else? And yes, you were around this person, that person. Well, we need to let that person know because they need to get tested. Right. That's your old-fashioned contact tracing to let people know. The modern tech contact tracing is not to be thought of in the way that they did in the past because it would determine every single movement mm-hmm. that you make and connect dots with everyone else in that sphere of movement.
Well, they're using apps on phones now, aren't they? So
yeah.
That's really scary.
And, of course, Chicago already has its app, and Illinois has its app.
Every move you make is being monitored.
Many states have their apps. And, of course, Apple and Android, they are putting the apps on your phone. Now, on the iPhone, for example, you can choose not to have it on. I've chosen not to download it at all. But, you know, there's just a point in time where these updates are going to not work until you ultimately upload it.
And, you know, this sounds sci-fi, Matt, but this is reality. This is where we are right now.
It is. And then what we have here is having every single movement tracked. For example, in India, they say that the app is voluntary. In the first week, it had more downloads than any other app in history. A Pokemon, I guess, was the world record at that time, and this one blew that one away. And but it's really not voluntary. It's more like mandatory in China, because if you want to get on an airplane and fly, you've got to show the app. If you want to go into a restaurant or a place out in the public, you have to show the app. In other words, if you want to go and leave your house, you must have the app. Well, it's voluntary. No, it's not voluntary. If you want to be a slave in your own house and chained to your own house
without being able to move,
a prisoner, I should say, in your own house, then you would not need the app. But if you want to go outside of your house and go to any public place, you got to have the app. Mm-hmm. So it's not voluntary. And this is what's coming. It's not only tracing every movement, but it also is an electronic digital passport for your entrance into anything. And part of that passport is going to reflect whether or not, number one, you've been around anybody that has any kind of communicable disease, or number two, whether you have all your updated vaccinations. And that not only includes COVID-19, it includes everything else. And if you don't, then again, you're not going to get entrance to any particular location. The problem here is this court says they want to be able to perhaps in the future determine how dangerous religious services are compared to these other places like warehouses or similar activities. Well, you know what? The First Amendment allows gatherings, and it allows the decision-making to be at that church level, not at the government level. The church doesn't have to ultimately get permission from the government to meet. The government doesn't have the authority to tell the church that it can only meet online. that it can only have 10 people, even if you have a place that seats 500, 1,000, 5,000 people. The government has no authority to do that under the First Amendment. We're continuing to litigate these cases all over the country. We've worked with thousands of pastors all over the United States on these issues, and we have several cases pending at the Federal Courts of Appeals as we speak. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776.